take out your message notes. If you are new with us or you forgot them, then all you need to do is get the attentions of the usher and he'll provide those message notes for you. We're in a Father's Day series that has lasted 3 weeks, and today we're going to complete what our Lord wants to say to the men of our church. He wants to speak to men who want to be husbands one day and possibly fathers, to men who are fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, and uncles. The message is from the Word of God, so obviously it is for all who are able to hear and take it in and ask the Holy Spirit to help them apply it. But my focus and where my energy is going is to the men of Granada Hills Community Church. The kind of a man our kids need is what we're exploring. This isn't in your notes, but in Proverbs 20, verse 7, it reads this way: the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. So men, it's important that we understand that we are to be men who walk in our righteousness. We are men of integrity. We belong to the Most High God. We are sons of his. And we are to conduct ourselves as he has asked us to. We are to pleasure him. We are not to live lives in such a way that make him look badly. We are to live lives in such a way that other people are going to say, why are you so different? What makes you this particular way? The righteous who walks, that term walks as we've referred to it other times and other points in Scripture, it refers to a person's way of life. What is your life, gentlemen? Would you say that you are a man of God who walks in your integrity and it is righteous? Fair question. In Psalm 9, verse 17, it's not in your notes. Psalm 9, verse 17. The psalmist warns that the nation who forgot God will perish. The nation who forgot God will perish. We live in a nation of men who have forgotten God for the most part. And you see exactly what the psalmist was speaking about happening before your very eyes the last 3.5 decades or so, and in the last 8-10 years, more strongly than I've ever seen it before in the 7 decades I've been around. There has been more violent attacks on schools and houses of worship. The de-evolution, if you will, even from Roe versus Wade with regard to abortion. Now they want to give mom the opportunity who wanted an abortion all the way up to the moments after their son or daughter is born to kill it, or I should say him or her. Because it's not an it, it's a person, a person. So what can we do to save the nation that we love, gentlemen? What can you and I do? As Christians, we know that we do not wrestle, as the scripture says, against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As Paul was reminding the Ephesian church family in his letter, chapter 6, verse 12. Satan's mission, men, is to stop the spread of the gospel. I just want to say thank you to those seven of you who shared the gospel and to you who were most fortunate to see that the Holy Spirit would lead one person because you shared the gospel to faith in our Lord Jesus. Thank you. That is cool. Enjoy that. But gentlemen, Satan's mission is to stop the spread of the gospel, and he is doing a wonderful job at it. He's doing great. And on top of that, all of his kids are demonstrating what we don't see from professing Christians, just in a general statement, not specifically, but they're not obedient like Satan's kids are. And it's time for you and for me, gentlemen, and to lead our wives and our kids, all of us as GHCCers, to come against this. Because Satan wants us to forget God. And as you see, he's done very well. But you and I must fortify our hearts, men, with courage to carry on with the most pressing mission. And where it starts is with us, particularly who are dads and husbands. It starts at home. It starts with these little treasures. I know we don't think of them as that, as treasures sometimes, but it's time for us to start at home. We need to be the men of God, the mighty, faithful men of Jesus at home. The evil one, the thief, he came to steal and kill and destroy. But our Lord came to give us life and life abundant, a spiritual life of abundance. And I'm inviting you guys, based on what I've shared because of what the Holy Spirit has given us the last 2 weeks, to enter into this abundant life and to do it at home. And if mom has been the one leading in prayers, you could need to take her aside without the kids around and saying, I'm manning up, honey. I'm manning up. I won't do as good a job as you for the first few months, but I'm taking over your position that you had to assume because I wasn't doing mine. It's time. The time is long past for men across America who claim Christ to be their Lord and Savior to make sure that they are now imitating him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at a man, the kind of man your kids need, the kind of man our wives need. We've looked at that the faithful man of Jesus is a caring man. He's a manly man, but he cares. And people can see the compassion in his heart and in his words. He's not only a caring man, he is a guy that you can depend on because he's consistent. He's a faithful man. He is faithful to be there for his kids. The job needs to be set aside. The boss needs to know well in advance, my kid is playing a baseball game. My daughter is playing a recital. And I, as their dad, need to be there. We need to be there for our kids. We need to show our wives and our kids that we care. Second of all, we learn that we need to be consistent, steady, dependable. We show up when we say we're going to show up. We do what we say we're going to do. We don't make lots and lots of excuses. There will be times, it just happens, that we can't do what we said we were going to do. But that is an anomaly. That is not the regular. It is not what we see taking place in mighty men of Jesus. So this morning we're going to pick up, I think it's on page 3 of your notes, with number 3. A mighty faithful man of Jesus cooperates with others. He not only cares, he cooperates. He not only is consistent and faithful, he cooperates. So I'd like us all to read number 3 aloud. Let's read it together. A mighty faithful man of Jesus cooperates with others. Now consider with me Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. You're going to see Paul wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian man. I know we like to go into our man caves. I know we at times just want to be alone. And that's okay at times. But gentlemen, in this Christian life, we need to cooperate. We need to be in this together. And some of you are really lousy at being Christian men. You just need to own up to it. For decades, I was a lousy Christian man. But it's time to go to those guys that you already know in the church family. You have respect for them. And they have that thing you don't have yet. And ask them how you can acquire it too. Because they will help you. They will help you. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, Paul writes to the Philippian church family, says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. I have no one like Timothy. Isn't that a shame? For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. He doesn't have a whole bunch of people cooperating with him in the sharing of the good news. This shows us a guy who cares and an example of a man who excelled in being selfless, Timothy. In verse 21, it says, for they all seek their own interests. We don't know who the they are, who are all the they ares. Paul's in prison. Maybe it's a lot of the fellas in the Roman church family. I don't know. It doesn't really tell us. For they all seek their own interests, as we see so often across America in the church. They seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven, tested worth. They have seen Timothy in action. This selfless, self-sacrificing guy. They've seen it in him. But you know Timothy's proven, tested worth. How is a son with a father? They worked like a father and son in the ministry. How is a son with a father? He has served with me like a slave. Served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. Nero hasn't said if he's going to lop off his head this time around. And as you and I know, he doesn't. It's next time that he forfeits his life. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Anybody here name their son Epaphroditus? No? It's a great name. We can call him EPAP. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. And look at this, look at this. My brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger, and minister in my needs. What a tremendous man. Faithful, caring, cooperative. He's working with Timothy and with Paul. For he has been longing for you, longing for all of you, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor. Respect him. Esteem him is the Greek term there. Esteem him, consider him better than yourselves. And honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. We can see Paul worked closely in cooperation with two men that demonstrated that they had empathy. There were men that had sympathy. These are guys that cared, and they were trustworthy. They were consistent. He also had high praise for Epaphroditus and called him my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. We're brothers in faith. We're working together for the glory of our Heavenly Father, for a Son, the Lord Jesus. We are working together in concert with God the Holy Spirit, and we are fellow soldiers. We are at war with Satan. We're not sitting back. We're not up in the grandstands eating our, as I was talking about, Dodger dogs and drinking Cokes. We're at war. We're at war. Most of the men in the churches in America today are in their easy chairs. They don't even know a war is going on. They're not in the thick of the battle. But mighty, faithful men of Jesus who love their kids and their wives and their church family, they're in the thick of it because they want to see them protected. They want to be what God raised them up to be, protectors. As you look at your notes, I wrote there for you, the mighty faithful men of Jesus won't do life on their own. They need other men, and we have a Saturday morning men's group that meets twice a month, the second and fourth Saturday of the month, and it's just for you. If the girls show up, they're going to have to sue us because we won't let them in. Check it out, guys. What's your real reason for not being with those guys that meet? What is your honest reason before the Lord Jesus that is really a good reason? And you know the Lord is going to say, I bless you for staying away from those radical men in that church. Man, this is the kind of father your children need. This is the kind of man your wife is longing for. This is the kind of man Granada Hills Community Church needs more of. And for each of you, guys, that this has nothing to do with you. You're the best. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're examples to your other brothers. You're examples. Number four, a mighty faithful man of God is concerned about the feelings of others. Got your fill-in taken care of? Let's read this aloud together, shall we? Let's read it aloud with strength. A mighty faithful man of God is concerned about the feelings of others. A mighty faithful man of God, a mighty faithful man of Jesus is concerned about the feelings of others. They're not just as bull in a china shop like we're described so often. We have feelings and we feel for other people. Some of us have even been known to weep in public. And you know that those guys are mighty men of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you, I parakaleo you. And I raise my voice because that's what Paul's doing here, but in words. He is strongly speaking out this exhortation. I strongly exhort you to walk. And we know to walk means to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If you're a Christian, gentlemen, born again, you know that's the case because you have the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit manifesting themselves in your life as you have feelings for people. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Come on, there's feelings, gentlemen. Is that what you're known for? Is that what you're exuding? Are you a big mouth? You know, someone who picks on other people, a loud mouth at home. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, still in prison, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the gospel for which you have been called, with all humility, completely being humble every day, gentlemen. This is a continuous action, being completely humble and with gentleness, meaning meekness and not being harsh or rude, gentlemen. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. Bearing means holding up, keeping someone up from falling over, falling down. Bearing with one another in agape. You are seeking these other people's best and greatest good at your expense because you esteem them more highly than yourself. Fellas, this is what Jesus did the whole time he was here on earth. The epitome of manhood and our example. He goes on and he says, eager to maintain, he's saying, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not excite to anger. Do not enrage. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Nourish them. And dad, if you're going to nourish your children, if you're going to be able to nourish your wife, that means you have to have a nourishing relationship with God the Father through the Holy Spirit. You need to be sitting down and having Bible study. Yeah, Bible study, Bible study. The very thing that most of the men across America, as we take the surveys, they don't want to read the Bible. They don't see it as being valuable to them. Gentlemen, if we're going to raise up our children, if we're going to see our culture change, if we're going to see this nation change, it starts with you, you being the leader, you being the man of God. You're the man who knows the Word of God, or you know where in the Word of God to go find these things out so that you can be the father your sons and your daughters need and the husband your wife needs. We need to nourish our kids by bringing them up in the discipline, in the righteous, being strong with our kids. Not beating them, but being strong with our kids. Turning them towards righteousness. And when they decide to disobey righteousness, we need to be merciful, but we need to take a hand in this. We need for them to understand there are consequences for their disobedient actions. But please don't give them the excuse because you are demonstrating disobedience to your heavenly Father. They'll figure things out. Trust me in this. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction, the training of the Lord. Remember, this word, this beautiful document that we have, and it's even richer when it finds a place in our minds and in our hearts. And as we see the Holy Spirit using this living, active, authoritative word that has been placed here and here being lived out in our lives, this is what our children need to see because the Word of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man, woman, boy, girl of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And Dad, it's supposed to begin with us, not Mom, us, you and me. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. In other words, they are wise. They have wisdom. They have great intelligence is what the proverb is telling us. But he who has a hasty temper, in other words, the best way the Hebrews could translate this in modern day is that they're hotheads. But he who is has a hasty temper, a hothead, exalts folly. Folly means recklessness, carelessness, foolishness. An individual who is showing that they have a lack of intelligence. We need to be men who have sensitivity, feelings for others. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Isn't that cool? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word turns up anger. You know, there's a time in my last profession that, and I may have shared this with some of you, so forgive me, but if I have, but I had this arrestee, and we were in the booking area, and I had the handcuffs and him cuffed to these bars. And this guy is just turning the air in the area blue with his profanity. He is just going, you know, he started with me. He started then with my wife. He started with my mother. He's just every curse word in the world. An officer, we'll call him Rains, he's over here and he's booking his guy. And he looks over at me and I'm just taking everything out, booking it in. And finally, he hooks his prisoner up to the bars and he comes marching over. And so here I am and pushes me out of the way, and he grabs my arrestee, and he picks him up off the floor. And he says, "You looking at me? Don't you ever talk to that officer with those words, ever, ever again. Do you understand?" Put him back down. He walks over and finishes booking his arrestee. And I come back over, and he says, "What's with him? I was cursing you out, not him." I said, "They're very protective of me." So, gentlemen, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you want to get in a fight, then that's what you do. I average 50 arrests a month. Now, you have to understand, that is a ton. That is what we used to say in the military, beaucoup amount of people going to jail every month. Therefore, I was in court on all my days off. But, you see, I forget where I was going to go with that. But anyway. Oh, having a harsh word. There were those guys that weren't going to go to jail peaceably. And that was okay. I'm a scrapper, and that's fine. But most of them went to jail peaceably. And the reason they went to jail peaceably is I had learned this. You see, a harsh answer is going to tick him off. But a soft answer, even calling him sir when he just a really bad person. I was able to just cuff him up, put him in the car, and take him to my hotel. So, soft answer, guys, turns away wrath. But a harsh one, you're looking for a fight. You know that with your wife too, right? Philippians 2, 25 through 27. I read this to you earlier, but I want to point something out to you as we're looking at this fourth area for us to be aspiring to, feelings for others. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed. He's been concerned. He's been concerned. He had feelings for these people who were worried about him. Because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul, as you look there, Paul tells that Epaphroditus got sick, but he was more interested in helping others than his own illness. This is a guy that is selfless. Why? Mighty faithful men of Jesus, like Epaphroditus, aren't just strong, they're sensitive. They're sensitive. They have feelings for others. They promote others above themselves. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then," in other words, clothe yourself as like what you are, the new creation. The old is past, fellas. We don't need to go jump back in the flesh and bring back all that sinfulness. Put on, clothe yourself as God's chosen ones. Remember, you're his prized possessions. You're part of his priesthood, royal priesthood. You're part of a holy nation, fellas. Put on then God, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are set apart, holy. You're set apart for God's use. And beloved, there's that Philadelphia love, philos. He's talking about, I have these sentiments. I have these warm, loving feelings toward you. You got this, guys? And then he manifests them. And he tells us this is what we need to be putting on so others can benefit from them. A compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. and observation. I run into men all the time who brag about the fact that they say what they think. They brag about that. They say what they think, and they say, let the chips fall where they may. That's not a man that is sensitive. Let the chips fall where they may. That's not a caring man. I guess what I'm saying is, here's at least a couple of areas that need to be strengthened if the gentleman is truly a faithful, strong man of Jesus. They wear it like a badge of honor, but it's not. Fellas, this is demonstrating a lack of maturity. It doesn't take any brains to just say whatever you think. Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Because you know, I know, it's really hard at times to... Holy Spirit, I need your help because my flesh really wants to blow this out with a lot of anger. And the only way that our relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit works real well is that we're working real well with it every single day. Our relationship with Him is real because He's alive. He's very real. It's not something we do in the by and by. Our relationship is real with Him every day. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to be strong this way. Godly men consider the feelings of others, guys. They put their mind in gear before they put their mouth in gear. The guy that puts his mouth in gear first, this is not the kind of man that your kids need. It's not the kind of man your wife needs. And it's the kind of gentleman that I have to sit down with from time to time, give him a hug, tell him I'm going to say some things that are kind of pointed, but you know I love you, right? And once we've got that squared away, then I have to tell him some hard things. Men, as I've written there for you, I'm encouraging you in the strongest terms. I'm encouraging you to embrace the Lord's word above and below. By that, what am I talking about? Everything we've covered the last now three Sundays. And that which I'm going to ask you, not require you, but ask you to read aloud with me that is below that statement. So men, ladies, if you want to join in, you can. But this is for the guys. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Here's what it says, and then I'm going to ask you to read it with me. As a mighty, faithful man of Jesus, I will be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that I do be done in love. That love is agape, seeking the other's best and greatest good at my expense, and phileo. It is a blend. It is this rich love that has rich feelings with it as well. But seeking the other person's best and highest good, being selfless, not selfish. Not being self-promoting, but considering the other people around me, my children, my wife, to be better than myself. So, gentlemen, Ladies, if you choose to, let's read this together. As a mighty, faithful man of Jesus, I will be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that I do be done in love. Amen. It wasn't very strong, fellas. You notice I hear the women all saying, do it again. But I wouldn't ask a man to do that unless he really wanted to. Because I'm not kidding about this. And neither is our Heavenly Father. He is calling the men of GHCC to stand up and be counted as his sons. His sons in whom he is well pleased. That he is proud of. So one more.
Stand up. Come on.
As mighty, faithful men of Jesus, I will be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that I do be done in love. Amen. May it be so. These past three Sundays, I want to encourage all dads and men of GHCC to take the challenge of becoming the mighty faithful men of Jesus that their families, our church, and this world needs. That may require you, hopefully, not round filing your message notes. It may require that you get a set of message notes because you didn't take a note. And go online and re-listen to the messages. And then you've got this wonderful document to be able to carry around with you. Because you don't get it the first time around. I didn't. And I still have to read these things through as a great reminder of who I have been called to be in Jesus. So I encourage you. Don't let these things drift too far away. And read them maybe once or twice every day until you feel like, I think I've got this, but I still need the Holy Spirit every day to make me do it. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us as a dad what we need to be more like as fathers ourselves. Thank you for pointing out to us that caring is not a feminine thing to do, but it is a manly thing to do. And to demonstrate this towards boys and girls, men and women, bosses and employees. Thank you for pointing out that it's important for us to be consistent, steady, faithful. Not only steady and faithful with you, Father, and your Son, and the Holy Spirit, but especially after you, our children, and our wives, and the church that we have been so blessed to be a part of. Please, Father, may you board up the man cave for the most part and help us be cooperative with one another. May the men who've got a lot of this down, they're not perfect, but they've got a lot of it down. May they cooperate with younger men. May the younger men come and ask to cooperate with them in becoming a very strong, mighty man of Jesus, and that they'd like the help going forward to be that guy. And likewise, Father, help us as men in particular to be concerned for the feelings of others. I know you want this for all your children. every single one of your children, whatever their gender. But for us guys, Father, help us to be concerned about the feelings of others. Watch our mouths. Watch what we say. Watch the way we deliver a punch, whether it's verbally or hopefully never with a fist. But to be feeling what others feel. And then come alongside and help. So thank you. Thank you for your being straight with us. Thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, the man's man. And may these guys and myself, my Lord, rise up and be mighty, faithful men of Jesus, true disciples who take up our crosses daily, identifying with your son and moving forward. Amen.